This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with presidential politics following the big victories last night in New York.
New Yorkers, you've always had my back. And I've always tried to have yours.
Hillary Clinton, of course, celebrating her nearly 16-point victory over Bernie Sanders in New York's Democratic primary. And on the Republican side, Donald Trump demolished John Kasich and Ted Cruz, winning more than 60% of the vote and most of the state's 95 delegates.
The people of this country and the people of this state truly are great and amazing people. We are going to be so strong again, legitimately. So great again.
Trump and Clinton are hoping to ride that momentum next week into Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Maryland, as well as into a pair of New England states, Connecticut and Rhode Island. So let's begin with our own New England political roundtable. And joining us now from Rhode Island Public Radio in Providence is political analyst Scott McKay. Scott, always great to have you.
It's great to be on, Anthony.
Also, from WNPR in Hartford, Connecticut, Colin McEnroe, host of the Colin McEnroe Show. Colin, great to have you back.
Hi, Anthony.
Let's start with last night's big wins for Clinton and Trump. First, Clinton, and I'll start with you, Scott. Was this as close to a knockout punch, I guess, as she could have gotten in her contest with Bernie Sanders?
It certainly was. This huge win in New York is obviously going to give her some kind of momentum. And I think the Sanders people, after next Tuesday, are going to have to, as Ted Devine, his senior advisor, mentioned, they're going to have perhaps some reassessment to do.
Yeah, some reassessment as in, can they go all the way on to California or not? What do you see, Colin?
Well, it puts a lot of pressure on her, on Sanders, to run the table in other places like Connecticut. If you are one of the people who worships at the altar of Nate Silver, last night he was kind of spitballing this, saying, well, she was a 90% probability to win the nomination prior to New York. Now, says Nate Silver, I don't know if it's 95 or 99.5. So if you buy into those kinds of numbers, yeah, Sanders has to be kind of perfect. He's got to, in all these proportional contests, he's got to really take a lot of delegates out.
Right. Now, Clinton tried to extend the olive branch to Sanders supporters in her victory speech last night. Let's just listen to a few seconds of that.
And to all the people who supported Senator Sanders, I believe there is much more that unites us than divides us.
Scott, do you think she can convince Sanders to soften his language? Because this race has gotten pretty nasty on both sides, with some tough attacks coming from both sides. How do you see the sort of tone of this campaign going forward?
Well, I think there will be a rapprochement here before the convention, particularly if she holds on to this lead. Bernie Sanders is not the kind of person who's going to do a third party or do anything crazy. He, over the years, has worked very well with the Democratic Party, even though he, again, is in the more liberal camp, as we all know.
Yeah. What do you think, Colin? I mean, because it has gotten pretty nasty, especially lately from Sanders. Do you see this sort of toning down a little bit, and before it's too late, to bring this party together?
Well, those words weren't directed at Bernie. They were directed at his followers, right?
Right.
I mean, how soon can she begin courting them? And I'm sure Bernie doesn't really like it when she talks like that, because she's really talking to his people, saying, when this whole thing is dead and buried, you're going to come on over to my side. So let's start playing a little bit of verbal patty cake right now. And Bernie doesn't think this is over. And it's for a lot of voters, it's not over until the candidate concedes or, and it may come to this, releases delegates at the convention. It often does boil down to that. And I think the problem that she's looking at, or that the Democrats are looking at, is how incredibly sharply divided the party is along certain lines. I mean, I just looked at new poll numbers in Connecticut today. So it's about a 66-25 Clinton advantage among likely black voters. It's a 73-26 Sanders advantage among likely Democratic voters between the ages of 18 and 34. So you look at those kinds of fault lines, they're much sharper than the overall results suggest. And I think that's the kind of mending that she needs to do.
Yeah, interesting. Well, let me stick with you in Connecticut for a moment. So what does that mean overall for Connecticut? What kind of race are we looking at in Connecticut?
Well, as of this morning, a Q poll dropped. She's got a 9-point advantage. Now, I would expect Sanders to slightly outperform that. This is a state that in which liberals and mavericks run pretty well. There's even a precedent with the Clinton name on it. Jerry Brown won here in 1992 over Bill Clinton. And there's a pretty strong Sanders organization. I would call it's a loose organization, as Sanders stuff tends to be, but it's here. There are a lot of young people. There's new voters coming in. I think about 72,000 new registrations overall. A lot of them Democrats. A fair number of unaffiliated switching over to Democrats. Common sense says those are almost all Sanders voters. Sure. He's probably going to do a little bit better than the 9-point disadvantage he showed this morning in the polls. Even if he does a little bit better, he's not in a position where he can split proportional votes up 50-50 with her.
Right. Now, Scott, game out the Democratic race in Rhode Island. And I'm guessing that Sanders, this might be pretty good territory for Sanders, given the sort of economic dislocation that has occurred there over the years. Or am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're looking at a state, Rhode Island, the voting demographics, very much like Massachusetts. Independents can vote on either side, which should help Sanders. However, what you have in Rhode Island is a classic kind of maybe a New York type, Massachusetts type race here, where all the institutional support is with Hillary Clinton. Senators Reid and Whitehouse, Congressman Cicilline, Congressman Langevin, Governor Gina Raimondo, everyone in the Democratic Party hierarchy is with Clinton. Now, they have not taken this for granted, however. They had Bill Clinton here last week. Former Congressman Barney Frank has been here. There's an emerging Latino vote in Rhode Island. They had Illinois Congressman Louis Gutierrez in here also campaigning. And we may see this weekend Bernie Sanders coming here. Hillary is coming on Saturday. So they're hotly contesting it. What Sanders does have, though, is a lot of enthusiasm. If you went to his opening a couple of weeks back here in Providence of his office, you would have found the place overwhelmed with young people, along with a pretty healthy sprinkling of liberals and baby boom folks. So I think you're going to see the establishment versus the grassroots enthusiasm of Sanders. And we've seen this all along recently in Massachusetts. They'll tell you, if it wasn't for Marty Walsh, the Sanders people thought they would have a chance there. But
it's true. They had huge crowds here, lots of enthusiasm. And what about the Republican side, Scott? Game it out a little bit for us. What does the ground look like in Rhode Island vis-a-vis a Trump candidacy?
There's no public polling yet. A Brown University, I believe, is coming out with something tomorrow or Friday. But so far, it looks probably like Trump will pull it out. These are low turnout, usually, contests on the Republican side because Rhode Island's such an overwhelmingly Democratic state. However, what's left of the Bush and Rubio people have coalesced behind John Kasich, who's coming to speak at Bryant University here on Saturday. But I would suspect that Trump probably wins, with Kasich maybe even breaking 30%, coming in a strong second. Ted Cruz, as is the case across New England, there are not a lot of evangelical Christians, the kind of folks that Cruz has been able to capture in the red states, and he's from Texas, and he hasn't been here. There aren't a lot of his people really contesting this on the ground.
Right. Now, Colin, what are you seeing in Connecticut? Their Republicans tend to be more moderate than in other parts of the country. Is that does that necessarily support a Kasich victory there, or what are you seeing?
Well, yeah, the people who get elected or nominated in Connecticut tend to be moderates and pro-choice moderates. So that's kind of almost off the table with the Republican field right now. The kind of Republican, the Chris Shays, Rob Simmons Republican, the Nancy Johnson, Stu McKinney, that person doesn't really exist in the field. Kasich is kind of a reasonable facsimile here. First of all, I would say that the primary rules here, it's our primary takes place, by the way, on Melania's birthday, which I think is just a part of it's in the Constitution, I think. But
sure. but anyway, I'm sure the framers had that all worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the our primary rules are really, really complicated. Bill Littlefield will be able to explain the Chase Utley rule on your baseball segment better than I could.
Okay. I'll be sure to bring that up with them.
But in simple terms, the magic number is kind of 50 plus one. 50% of the vote plus one means Trump, and that's the only person who can do this. Trump kind of can take all the at-large delegates and probably at some of the other levels, grab most, if not all of them. So he needs to be at 50% plus one vote. Right now, he's polling 48 to 28 over Kasich. So, you know, he'd rather be showing up at like 55 or 56 with some kind of cushion for this, particularly because now, as we know, as he heads into Cleveland, you know, he wants to be at 1237. He doesn't know what's going to happen, you know, at a, on a contested multi-ballot convention fight. He's better off at a one and done. So, you know, just taking a bunch of delegates is not good enough for him anymore. He really needs to take all or most in a lot of these states. Mm-hmm. So that'll be it'll be hard. I mean, every vote will be fought over here, which will be an interesting thing to watch.
You know, finally, you guys, it just occurs to me how interesting this is to be talking to you in Rhode Island and Connecticut and have these primaries mean something and matter this late in the season. That doesn't often happen. Scott, this must be exciting for you.
It is. So in 2008, Rhode Island held its primary in March. And for a week, you thought we were New Hampshire. Everybody came. Obama came. Hillary Clinton. There were tons of surrogates. Hillary Clinton won that race over Obama here by nearly 18 points. So she has to be the pregame favorite.
All right. Colin McEnroe, host of the Colin McEnroe Show at WNPR in Hartford. Colin, thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
And Scott McKay, political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio in Providence. Scott, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Anthony.